first song or so, welcome. And we all know what's coming up, right? This Thursday is Thanksgiving, right? Right? And when, let's see, when I mention Thanksgiving, what's the first thing you think of? All right, just call it out. Right? Call it out one at a time. I couldn't catch any of that. Okay. That was awesome. So, yeah. Oh, man, I haven't had to work for it in a while. This is, I'm sweating up with this. It's good. It's awesome. Love to just get that time of worship with you guys. So, yeah, we're thinking about Thanksgiving, right? Turkey, family gatherings, beautiful table place settings, right? Lots of food, maybe football on TV, or my personal favorite, the dessert table, right? While they're watching football, I'm over here doing the dessert table thing, checking it out. They've even started wrapping it in cellophane because they know me. Like, it's not allowed to be opened until it's time. But I've worked that out, and I'm just not telling them how I do it. But anyway, our family, right, we get together, all our families, around the table, and we talk about things that we're thankful for, right, with each other, and we thank God for the food, right, and for family and for friends and the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, right? And then we enjoy that meal together, we watch the game together, we have the dessert together, my favorite, and then the day winds down. Okay, we start planning when we're going to have those leftover turkey sandwiches, right? Or that little extra unwrapped in cellophane dessert that nobody's paying attention to, right? You found my weakness. And we do that. And then Thanksgiving Day winds down, and it's done. Another great holiday gathering in the books, right? And so goes Thanksgiving. But should it be limited to just one day a year, right? That's the question, and we all know that. To commemorate our thankfulness on one day? No, right? Outside of praying for our food, you know, where a lot of when you see when the little kids, they're learning, thank you, Lord, for this food and this day, and bless this food our bodies, Lord, right? In Jesus' name, amen. How often do we just stop and say, even throughout our day, right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right? How do we do that? In a given day or a week or even, dare I say, a month, depending on where we're at, right? Something to think about as we continue. I'm guessing maybe we say, thank you, Lord, more readily. In the good times, right? In those good times, that's usually a lot easier to do when things are going well, life is good, more so than maybe in those times of trouble or despair or loss or whatever's going in our lives, going on in our lives that maybe is less than fun, right? It's real easy. It's almost instinctive to call out, thank you, Jesus, when something great or something miraculous happens, right? Or like we're driving in our car in the winter and there's that skid out and that near miss, and then the first thing out of my mouth is, thank you, Lord, right? Thank you, Jesus. It comes naturally, right? It's easier and it's much more frequent to say that when things are going well. But what about all those other times in our life? I want to talk about that a little bit today. Are we just as thankful, right? Should we be? Does it matter, right? God's word tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that in everything we are to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, right? Everything. Everything? Absolutely everything, right? Not only in the good, but even in the bad and the downright terrible and the ugly and the unbearable, be thankful, right? Think about how counterintuitive that is for us, even as humans, to be thankful in tough times. For those of us who are a bit more well-versed in the art of sarcasm, you know, I'll bet you would sound like, yeah, thank you, may I have another, right? You know, thank you, may I have another, when we feel that the hits just keep coming, one after another. And how about those days maybe when you wake up in the morning? We've all been there, right? You wake up in the morning, you just don't have it. You don't have it in you, you don't have the energy or the drive or the desire to get out of bed. And in those times, is the first thing that comes to our mind thankfulness to God? Is it? No? How about during the times of tragedy, attacks on us, like, or loss, right? Is thanking God our first thought, or are we more focused on that moment of pain and what's being lost than our Savior? Even if it was only for a time when that problem was there, the problem being even that our understanding is not the same as God's when it comes to time. We're in that moment in time, in that pain, in that suffering, and we just think it's unbearable and it's never going to end. And God and us, we see time differently, okay? God's understanding of time and our understanding of time are very different, and it also is some of the cause of our issues with being able to be thankful in all things. Because you see, God doesn't have, and this is going to hang in there with me, God doesn't have or even dwell in the past or the future. God's always in the now. Okay? God is always present. He's here now. So God was there with us in our past, in our present, and in our future, yet he's always in the present. He's always in the now. Okay? Anybody cross-eyed even trying to do the math on that yet? Hang in there. It's easy to say. That is to say that we as humans, we feel, we live time linearly. Okay? We have a 24-hour clock, a 7-day week, a 365-day year, and for us, time marches forward even if we're not ready for it. Whether we're ready for it or not, here it goes, right? But God, he's always in the present. Okay? In every moment of now. Every moment of now. Like now. And like now. Right? Even now. Right? Not then, now. Cool? So, he's omnipresent. Okay? And he's ever-present. And outside of how we see, how we feel, and how we measure time. Okay, God may know the future as God knows all things in his omnipotence, but he's also always with us in the here and now through his omnipresence. Okay, follow that? And we can take all morning just talking about how God is outside of how we perceive time, as time is really nothing more than how we physically measure change moving forward moment to moment in the physical world that we live in. But God is a spiritual being. And as the word says in 2 Peter 3, verse 8, do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So all that to say, without taking up too much time, is when we're in these tough times in our life, in our lives, it may seem like an eternity, right? Like it's never ending. Like the light at the end of the tunnel is what? The oncoming train, as we've said. And we don't feel very thankful about it. In fact, we'd be much more thankful without it, right? Right? But we're in it. And it's even in those times that we must give thanks, okay? Why would we do that? Well, for starters, be thankful you're still here. Right? Let's start there. There's still time to be thankful, right? Right? And God is here with you, and he's through it all. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6 says, keep your life free from the love of money, be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Right? So a little bit of godly instruction, a little bit of direction there, and a whole lot of promise. A whole lot of promise that no matter what we're going through, we can have total assurance that Jesus is right there with us, leading us, walking with us, and even sometimes carrying us when things are at their worst. I remember this old poem, I guess you can call it, from way back when I was a kid. It's been around for a long time. And it stuck with me all these years in my life. And in preparing the sermon, it was brought back to my mind, which is a miracle in and of itself. And it goes like this. The title is called Footprints in the Sand. I'm sure many of you have heard it. One night I dreamed a dream. And as I was walking along the beach with my Lord across the dark sky, flashed scenes from my life. And for each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and the one to my Lord. Now, after the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and the very saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. And this really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and the most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. And God whispered to him, my precious child, I love you and I will never leave you. Never ever during your trials, your testings. Those times when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. That's just beautiful. We praise God. We praise God in the best of our times, right? It's just natural to do so. I love Psalm 100. I'm a Psalm guy. His steadfast love endures forever. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, very much like we started this morning with 95. All the earth, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Know that the Lord, he is good. He's God. He is good. He is God. He is who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen. And we rejoice, and we are glad, and we sing praises of thanksgiving to our Lord. But what about those times in life when we can relate more to Job or Paul or Peter or even Jesus during those times of trouble and despair that we've gone through or go through? None of them had it easy, right? You know from the word, none of them had it all coming up roses each day. No, there were a lot of thorns in those roses for these guys. They had a rough go of things. And yet, they remained thankful to God in all things. Amen? Amen? Job, did anyone outside of Jesus in the Bible have a worse go of things than Brother Job? No, this man had it rough. He had it all, he lost it all. Right? And his wife told him to do just what any other typical man would do, just curse God and die. But Job, he went a different direction, didn't he? Amen. From the beginning of Job's calamity to the restorative end where God blesses Job with twice what he had lost, Job gave thanks and praise to the Lord even through it all. He was bummed out. You hear a lot of that, but he never sinned in that, and he was thankful. It says in Job 1, verse 20 to 22, then Job stood up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. He fell to the ground and worshipped. Worshipped. That's thankfulness, saying, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then it says in verse 22, throughout all this, Job did not sin or blame God for anything. That's awesome. Did you catch that bit at the end? Verse 22, Job did not sin or blame God for anything. Everything Job has, it was just wiped out. Everything except for maybe his wife, a few friends, the shirt on his back, and the sandals on his feet. And we have Job here saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. Right? And the hits keep coming. Job gets covered with boils and sores, head to toe. Talk about the perfect scenario for not wanting to be thankful. A little side note. This is the things that I wonder, so you're getting my inner monologue. But did you ever wonder why Satan didn't take out Job's wife or his three friends? Wiped out everything else in his life, right? Pretty much all of it, but them. Why? I think it's safe to say that Satan knew they would not help Job by encouraging him to stay in the will of God and be thankful, but more so to tell him, hang it up, or maybe give him accusation to bum him out further. There was a lot of that going on, the criticism, the judgment. Job wasn't getting help from them with that. So just a little side note. So, and we see the theory proven here that I have in the Word in Job 2, verses 9 and 10, where Job's wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. And his buddies, they weren't much help to him as found within the text. Even Job's wife was trying to tell Job, this is no time to be remotely thankful. This just plain stinks. Life is tough. This is horrible, unbearable, and it keeps getting worse and worse. It's time to be ticked off and angry and anything else but thankful. And Job replies, you're speaking foolishness here. He told her, should we accept only the good from God and not the adversity? Throughout all this, Job did not sin in what he says. It says again, through it all, Job, he leaned into God, even in the worst of times, right? He leaned into God. He may not have enjoyed the situations that he suffered, but who would, right? That's kind of nuts, to enjoy that kind of thing, to love suffering, right? James tells us, though, in chapter 1, verse 2, that my brethren, we are to count it all joy when we fall into various trials. It's easy to count everything as joy when it's high fives all around, right? When it's a great day. But even in the various trials and tribulations and stuff that we go through in life, we are to count it all as joy. So let's go a little deeper into that, get into the text a little further. We need the context of the text, okay? Right? Look at the word count in this verse. The contextual definition of the word count, based on the original Greek of this word, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, you can look it up, is to think, to consider, to regard, or to hold an opinion, or essentially to evaluate. Okay? And it's a command being given to begin to do something, specifically in this case, we're being instructed on how we should be thinking. Key word thinking in these tough times. So we don't go to it all, and I'd say that's self-explanatory, just like our key verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, right? It all of it, same. So in everything, right? We are to consider, we are to evaluate, and we come to joy, and joy means joy, delight, or a reason for gladness. A reason for gladness. And to fall into is to encounter, to face, to meet with, to strike, and then we come to various, right? Different kinds, many kinds, diversify, and then trials. Translated there as temptations, and it has two meanings. It's a test or an examination, if you will, that trial, or it's an enticement to sin in that temptation, to do wrong. So what is James saying here? Now that we have all these individual pieces of the passage and their original meanings, what is James saying to us here? Check this out. When we're in the middle of the trials and the tribulations of life that come our way, whether they be from the hand of God or permitted, and then through the temptation by Satan, we're to look at these times from God's perspective. Right? From God's perspective. Even from where we're at, we can't always see that, but we're to go there and look at this from God's perspective. Instead of coming at them with discouragement and frustration and anger and perhaps even blaming God, right, for this happening to you or I, we have to take pause. We have to take a second, right? Not get caught up in our own human reasonings, our own emotions, and instead turn to God and His Word, as it says in John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Now, trials and tribulations, they're not occasions for us to want to feel joyful, right, or thankful. These are painful times in our lives, no doubt, but they exist for a purpose. And this is key in understanding and changing our perspective on how we see and endure these tough times in our life. Still with me? Making sense? All right, so we don't have to pretend that these tough times are enjoyable. This is not what the Word says. God does not tell us that we should consider these times as enjoyable, but as opportunities for great joy. Okay, it's different. I know it sounds like it doesn't make any sense, but let me explain. To say it a different way, there's no way going through hardship, difficulty, trauma, pain, suffering, there's no way that's going to produce a happy feeling within us, right? The Word isn't talking about our feelings here, but about our state of mind on the matter, our thinking on the matter. So what am I saying here? In these times of hardship, we may feel the pain and we may suffer amid them, but at the same time, we are to keep our eyes upon Jesus, not the situation, okay? Look full, as the song goes, into His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Okay? Those are not just pretty words from a song. They're words to live by, words that will lead us to give thanks in everything. Why? Why is that? James 1, verses 3 and 4, and then I jump to 12. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Now, those of you who are athletes, you've heard the old saying, right? No pain, no gain, right? Paul says it a lot differently. He says it a different way in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder, the perfecter, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a big amen there. We need to run with endurance. And how do we build our endurance? Through training. And is training easy? If you're doing it right? If you're really into training, training's tough. right? Training is tough. And for those of you who are athletes, you know what I'm talking about. Anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about, watch any Rocky movie. It'll all make sense, okay? And look at what the word says here. Looking unto Jesus. Where's our focus supposed to be in these times of trouble and trial and training? On Jesus. The author and finisher. He wrote it. The plan was there from the beginning. He knew what we were going to go through. And the finisher. Why? He's going to bring us through it all. He's going to bring us through it all. He's the author and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. That means he wrote it for us, right? We're going to be there. He's going to be there with us. He's going to get us through, never leaving us or forsaking us. That's why we're told to. That's why we're absolutely able to count it all joy. Count it all joy. Consider it a reason for joy. Don't be happy about it, but when we fall into these trials, consider it all joy. If we can change how we view those unpleasant times in our lives, downright difficult and seemingly impossible to survive times in our lives, right? If we're looking unto Jesus through it all, if we can get to that place where we can do that all the time, knowing he's right there with us, trusting in him in the middle of the storm, Romans 8:28, right? We'll know that all things will work together for good to those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. And we'll begin to see, to consider these tough times in our lives as reasons for all joy, to count it all joy. We won't be complaining or dwelling or stuck in these times of trouble in our life, but we will be thankful in everything. Okay, it is possible. And we will see in these times through the eyes of Jesus. We'll see it as he does, and we'll consider them even as blessings, right? Reasons to rejoice and to give thanks to God in his infinite wisdom and leading in each of our lives. Nobody said, nobody promised that living a life for Christ was going to be an easy one, right? Not even God said that. The word says that this will be a life as walked down the narrow path or entering through the narrow gate, not the multi-lane, anything goes, superhighway of the world that Satan regularly tempts us with. Okay? Because the narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. And we read that in Matthew 7, verse 14. Peter and the apostles were beaten for preaching the word of the Lord. And when they departed, Acts 5, verse 41, when they departed from the presence of the council, they were rejoicing. They just took a beating, an embarrassing, shameful beating. And they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy. They were thankful to suffer that shame for his name. They were thankful that they were just beaten for proclaiming the name of the Lord, right? The name of Jesus. Not that beating was that joyful event, not at all. And I can't even imagine how much that hurt, both physically and emotionally, to be shamed like that. But they saw it as an opportunity to be joyful for serving Jesus and his kingdom, and knew that it would be used to honor and to glorify God by enduring that terrible time. And not sinning, not complaining, blaming, or cursing even their abusers. Right? Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. That's thankful. Right? For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets even who were before you. So this narrow path that we're on, this life that we're living for Christ as one of God's children, as soldiers in the Lord's army, right? It's not an easy one. Not while we're here on this earth anyway. Okay, there will be times of great joy, and we need to count that as all joy. There will be blessings in the good times. And if I can let you in on a little secret that really shouldn't be a secret, but maybe too many of us may not realize it. There are also blessings in the tough times. They're harder to see, but they're there. Okay? There are blessings in the tough times. There are blessings amid every difficult thing we go through in life as a follower and a believer in Jesus Christ. We're always going to have something to be thankful for no matter what is going on in our lives. We can be thankful for the promises of God. Okay? We can be thankful that God created us for a purpose, with a plan, for our good and for His glory, and that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. Right? Where we were once dead to sin, be thankful because we're now alive in Christ. The Holy Spirit now dwells within each one of us who have put our full faith in Jesus. We've been redeemed for all eternity. Okay? We have the promise of eternal life in Christ Jesus and a seat at the celebration table in heaven on that wondrous, glorious, wonderful day. Right? When Christ returns for us as bride and we join Him in the clouds and we go together into glory for all eternity. Okay? And for those of us who are getting on in years, okay, I'll stop, I'll include myself, or in the advancing stages of what my doctor likes to call maintenance. When we get to heaven, we get a new body. I can't wait. Right? Maybe get my hair back. It'll be great. And pain and death no longer holds, that's right, you can laugh. Pain and death no longer will hold sway over us. Our backs, our knees, our joints, our organs, whatever else is failing us or ailing us, right? In this world, it's going to be renewed in our glorified bodies and never fail us again for all eternity. And outside, I can't even say this without crying. Outside of meeting Jesus face to face, I'm looking forward to a new chassis because, man, I can't wait to dance. Dance like David danced, right? And like Forrest Gump, I plan on running up and down those streets of gold, okay? But at least for a little while, we're here on this earth still, okay? With a calling and a mission, and the world is still all around us, right? Right? And temptations will abound so long as we're walking with the Lord, because Satan wants to take out as many of us as he can, okay? Not because he can take away our salvation by getting us to fall back into sin, because we can still sin, that is possible, but he wants us to be ineffective for the kingdom. He wants us to be null and void so that no one else, through us or any of the people that he gets, would hear that gospel message and be saved, okay? Even when we sin, even when we cave into temptation, and by no means do I say this is a license, this is not a license, our salvation is secure in Jesus Christ, okay? Jesus says it in John 10, 28 and 29, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Okay, you're in Jesus' hand. No one is taking you out of his hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. The guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And yes, there are going to be those bad days while we're here in our lives. Bad times, bad runs, right? Bad things will happen to us. Some are tragic, some are traumatizing. And we're not going to understand why these things are happening to us. We're not going to get it. Okay? And in those times, it will be the hardest to remain focused on Christ and in so doing maintain that attitude of thankfulness, even amid the pain and despair. But God makes us a promise. Just as Joseph said in Genesis 50, verse 20, as for you, world, people that are on our case, right? You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Even in the worst times of our lives, it's cause still to be thankful to the Lord. Okay, during our family Bible study this past Wednesday night, there was a passage in the book about keeping the, writing in the book about keeping the proper perspective as it pertains to what we go through in life here on this earth. Something outstandingly awesome to me, and hopefully to all of you, to remain thankful to God for, even in the worst of times in our lives, is that this here, this now, while we're here, this is as bad as it's going to get for us. Is it? Okay? As bad as it gets for us. And once we're in heaven, only good things are in store. Right? For all eternity. But for the unbeliever, the time that they have here on this earth, unfortunately for them, this is only going to be as good as it gets. Okay? That's tough. But this is only going to be as good as it gets. As without Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they have nothing but pain and suffering and anguish and eternal separation from God in store. And so, as I draw this to a close, I call the guys back up. We should remain steadfast in our focus on Jesus each and every day. Amen. Amen. We should maintain an attitude of thankfulness for God's love and His saving grace, and in so doing, express our thankfulness to Him in a visible and an active life of righteousness and holiness and obedience to God. Okay, look for His purpose in everything He allows in our lives. Look there, not at the situation. Look for God's purpose in all things. And in so doing, always remember that everything He does in and for our lives is meant for our good. Even when it's hard to see, it's meant for our good and absolutely for His glory. Let us not only be thankful for being alive today, for tomorrow or the next day, but for being alive in Jesus Christ. Okay? We are alive in Jesus Christ. Right? Redeemed as one of His own through His atoning blood shed for us at Calvary. And pass the thankfulness on. That's what we're supposed to be doing here. Pass that thankfulness on in our obedience to God and in spreading the gospel message of Jesus Christ in and His immeasurable and His eternal love for us, that all may be saved and inherit eternal life. Inherit eternal life, as part of His glorious kingdom. Amen? Amen. Amen. Start each day with thanksgiving in your hearts. Tell Him. Enter His courts with praise. Show Him. Right? Say this is the day that the Lord has made and rejoice. Rejoice, for He has made you glad. Can you tell Him a lyric guy? Song lyrics. Let's stand together. I'm going to read Psalm 147, verse 1 and verse 7. And then one more, and we're going to just praise the Lord one more time. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. Let us sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. That's Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just prepare our minds to enter back into worship.